Our very kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for our safe travels here. Thank You so much for the congregation meeting here today and for the opportunities that we have to consider Thy Word and to grow therein as a result of the studies that have been done and shared and the questions that will be answered and studies done today. Thank You for every blessing through Christ Jesus our Lord, Your Son and our Savior, and the hope that we have through Him. And as a result of living from day to day, we have influence upon those around about us to see and to ask why we behave the way that we do, and to answer not because we are so strong, but because in our weakness, You have made us strong. Thank You for every blessing. We pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Yeah. I chose a particular topic for this morning about being faithful and being a person who knows about being in the faith. Becoming a member of the faith and being faithful thereto. What did Jesus say about His purpose of coming in Luke 19 at verse 10? The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. So here I am in sin and wrongdoing. I find myself wanting to obey the Lord. What did the Lord say about doing that? Well, in Matthew 7, 21, He said, "Not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." The will of the Father is what He said He spoke. And Jesus went on to say in John 12 and at 49, "The words I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father gave thee this word, and this is the commandments that I now relate to you." And He just said in just verse 48 of John 12, He said, "My word will judge you in the last day." And so the word that He taught us, we should be faithful to. We should be faithful in the service of learning and knowing, because He came to save us. More than that, He came to deliver us and help us in every way to live for Him. And that's the idea that we want to have. In the process of this, He taught His disciples how they could go forth and teach others. Read there with me in John chapter 17 and verse 17, a passage that you know very well, as Jesus was in His time of trial. And He taught His disciples, and He said to them something very important about what teaching they would do and how they would lead others to the Lord in the future. He said, "Sanctify them by Thy truth." And then He said, John 17, 17, "What is the Word? It's the truth." That's the idea of it. That's what He said He wanted us to do. "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself." I set myself apart. "That they also might be sanctified through the truth." The idea of serving the Lord is the concept right here. And He told these apostles, "You go out and you teach others and you set them aside by the truth." And the word that you teach, that they obey, that they come to obey, will set them apart from the world at large and set them apart for me. Is that not what He's talking about there in Matthew 7:21 when He said, "Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter, but he that doeth the will of my Father." Knowing that will of the Heavenly Father is by the word of the Lord. Thereby we can be sanctified in the service of the Lord, and we can be the servants of God, and as a result, He will hear us. And as we are people who pray to the Lord, we'll find that He will respond to us in a real positive way and a real helpful way. How to live for faithful for the Lord. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and down at verse number 13. He's talking about how that they obtained a great inheritance and a great hope of the soul. And He says in verse 13, Ephesians 1 and verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth." You see what we read earlier about sanctify them through Thy truth. thy word is truth. That's what he said. You go out and you teach this truth. And you sanctify, you set them aside by their obedience to that word, not just hearing it. There are a lot of people that hear it and say, boy, that's a good sermon. I agree with that. That's a good thing. That's a verse of scripture I never saw before. Never put it into practice, however. Never put it into practice. Thank the Lord, I have a lot of people that have put it into practice, and they're grateful for the teaching that they've got. At the same time, there's a whole lot of people more that have heard, sat in the audience, said it was a good sermon, good ideas, good things. Yeah, that's what it says in the Bible. But never put it into practice. These brethren at Ephesus were people who heard Paul teach and others teach. And listen to what he said there in Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted. They put their trust in the Lord. They put their ways of life in the Lord. They believed in Him. They trusted Him to save them in the end. And as a result of that, he said, ye heard the word of truth, which was the gospel of your salvation. In whom after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now the Holy Spirit came to the apostles in John 17 to guide them into all truth. Go with me back mentally or in the Bible itself to John chapter 16. And in reference to this matter, what he said about that particular idea. He said to the apostles, the Holy Spirit will come and guide you, verse 13, John 16, verse 13, guide you into all truth. They didn't have that truth by way of their own mental acceptance of something. They didn't make up that truth on the basis of what they wanted other people to believe. They receive that as a revelation from the Spirit of God. You and I don't have that kind of Bible study today. We study the Scripture in the sense of having it in front of us and discussing it. And there'll be a question and answer period of time just shortly as we go through this class. But I want to set these things out in front of you. The idea of the gospel is to be practiced by our lives. And as a result of that, we find ourselves wanting to come to the Lord and being a servant of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit seals the plans that we make. Seals it up. Doesn't let it run out. Doesn't let it leave. Doesn't let it quit. Seals that. It's a seal that is a good seal. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. How many of you paid some earnest for your apartment or your house that you now own? Earnest money. That was money that you set down and promised that if everything about the paperwork will be okay, I will buy that house. Earnest money. What is the Holy Spirit? He is earnest for us. And as a result of His earnest ways of life, He promises us that there's coming a better day in half until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all of the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Well, the idea of Paul was that I was appreciative of the fact that you heard that word of truth, you obeyed that word of truth, you didn't have it as a revelation from me or a revelation from the Holy Spirit. You had it as a revelation of the Holy Spirit's words to me that were taught to you. And in that truth of teaching, you responded to it. And you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the idea is that you would live that faithful way of life. Well, is the Holy Spirit and the way of life for you and me to be a promise kept no matter what we do, no matter what we say thereafter? And when we find ourselves in the Scripture, we find an answer to that because the Bible quickly tells us about that way of life that we live and do. And you go with me to the writer of 2 Peter chapter 2 and begin at verse 20. Being faithful to the Lord, remaining faithful to the Lord. That's a part of our lives. Should be. But in 2 Peter 2 verse 20 it says, For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is something that happened earlier in their lives. They had escaped the world. They have escaped the practice of the world. What's the practice of the world? Well, being dishonest, being a person who is profanity using in words and mannerisms of life. Being a person who is unruly and mad-spirited to others. Being a person who finds himself following the ways of the devil. That's what Jesus talked to the Jewish people about there in John 8. He said, you of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Even so do you. That's the practice of those who were listening to Jesus, who turned him down, who rejected him. And he said, you of your father the devil. They had claimed to be our father's Abraham. We've never been in bondage to any man. And Jesus said, you're in bondage right now. You're in bondage to the Romans. You're in bondage to sin more so than that. And here's the way of life that you're following. You're of your father the devil. The lust of your father you continue to do. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Well, we go back to Adam and Eve. We go back to Cain and Abel. We go back to the situation there. We see Satan there tempting and trying and doing those sort of things to their lives, making a change in their daily walk of life. That's exactly what took place. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Even so do you. That's the way of life that they would follow. And here these people have escaped that. If after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, there's temptations to everybody. And we'll see in just a moment what to do with those temptations. There are temptations that everybody has. Every day we face temptation. We cannot say at the end of a day, I've gone through this day, Lord, perfectly as you did in resisting sin. I've gone through this day. I've never thought of it, never practiced any way of life of sin and wrongdoing. And yet what we find is we find a way to take care of that temptation that we face. But these people are not only tempted, they are entangled and overcome. Notice what it said there. They are again entangled. Again. They once were entangled in this way. Somebody came along and preached the truth to them. They responded to that truth and began to obey that truth. They had a hope of their salvation now. And they were sealed with the Spirit of promise. And they had opportunity to live in heaven forever someday. And now then they once again went back to the world. Again. Went back to the world. They went back to the R and X-rated stuff. They went back to a world of sin and wrongdoing. They found themselves entangled therein and overcome. The latter end, he says, is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. What was the way of truth? It was the way of right doing. It was the way of righteousness. And to practice that way of the truth is to practice right doing. What do I do? Need to do this right? I need to close my eyes to some things. I need to close my ears to some things. I need to shut my mouth to some things. I need to not walk in that way, in that path, in that way in life. And as a result of that, I can remain in that righteousness, walking in that right doing. And what's the Lord going to do with that? Well, He says there in this regard, verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. What's the holy commandment? Hear and repent and confess and be baptized and begin to live faithful to the Lord. Worship in spirit and in truth. Honor His right way as you live. But here these turn back. And they not only were tempted and entangled in it, but they were overcome by it. And they began to live in that way once again. The Hebrew writer would say that they crucified the Lord afresh and put Him to an open shame. they were out here in the world and they were changed. Their old buddies and friends, according to 1 Peter 4 and 4, they thought it strange of them that they didn't continue to run to the same rites and excess that they did. Thought it strange of them. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, they looked up and there they are at the bar. There they are with the drink in their hand. There they are with cursing and profanity at the ballpark. There they are. And what's going on with their life? They're back with me. They're back with that way. I thought it was strange of them that they didn't do that anymore. They didn't come around that anymore. They didn't talk that way anymore. I considered them strange. I talked to my buddies about it. I thought it was strange that they are changed like that. But now then, they're back with us again. And they're rejoicing the fact that they're back with them again. And what does it say here that they did? They've turned from the holy commandment that was delivered to them. That holiness that is a part of obeying the Lord. A spirit that got us into truth and got us into righteousness in life. Those are the kind of things that they turned now from. Went back into the world. Went back to practice that way of life. And it's a sad, sad outcome. He likens it, verse 22, to a terrible thing. Close your ears to this if it kind of turns your stomach on a Sunday morning. It happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. He says, you know what happens at your household. The old dog gets sick, but he eats off what he has thrown up. That's sinful to you. That's things that you don't understand, things you don't appreciate. That's the way of life that you're now living. You've washed that old sow out and everything is doing fine. She's shiny and bright. But she's gone back to the mire again. She's gotten down the mud hole and rolled around in the mud and the water there and smells of the same once again. That's the way of life. Now, in the New Testament of our Bible, and the Old Testament too for that fact, it was not written in a divided chapter form. That was added many years later by those who were translators, and they wanted to be sure that they knew what the fourth word was in the first line of chapter such and such. And so as a result of that, they put chapters and verses in the Bible. And the chapter 3 goes on to say, look what it says. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say to these apostles you will do? John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So they were sent out into the world to preach and teach and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here they were out here in the world teaching. And we taught some of you. And now I stir up your minds, your pure minds. He's reflecting back to the time that they lived in a purified way, sanctified. Set aside to the service of God. Their minds now were pure. They were thinking of loving that way. Boy, they're just enjoying that way of life that's new now. I'm forgiven of my past ways of life. And he says, I'm writing this second epistle now to you to remind you. The message didn't change, did it? Because they had changed. The message wasn't different now because they had changed their way of life and lived in sin again. It didn't alter. It's the same old message, the same truth, the same way of life. I stir up your mind, your pure minds, in remembrance of these things that... You may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets. What did they preach? The things the prophets told about the coming of Christ and His way and His teaching. And the apostles, the commandments of His apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, what's going to come? Scoffers. walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, holy way of life, and godliness? You see that what he's saying here in chapter 2, and about their changing and going back to the way of the world again, and becoming entangled and overcome by it once again, he's now setting up a time, what we know as chapter 3 now, to tell them, this is the reason I've written to you. I've written to you to remind you and stir up your remembrance of what you learned from the truth and from the gospel back yonder when you obeyed that gospel. I'm writing this to you to remind you that scoffers will come in the latter time, and they will tell you the Lord is not coming. He's not going to be here. You have no accountability. There's no judgment day coming. And he says, but this they are willfully ignorant of. Why are they willfully? Well, they're willing because they like the money they're getting from what they're doing. They like the power that they exert that they're doing. They like the foolishness of life that they're practicing. And as a result of that, what are they doing? They're enjoying that way of life, and they don't want to have it changed. And they willingly are ignorant of the fact that the Lord promised one day with him is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years with him is like one day. We're just a few days beyond Calvary. We're just a few days beyond the plan of salvation on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Their faith was moved to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And the gift of the Holy Spirit would be theirs. They once did that. Here in 2 Peter 2, they once did that. That's why I brought this lesson to bear today in that class time. Becoming faithful to the Lord was a wonderful thing to do. But there comes a time in somebody's life that says, I'll go back and practice the same words I used to use, the same activities I used to do, the same sinful ways I used to think about and used to plan for and used to be with. I will go back that way for that purpose. And he's saying here, willingly ignorant of the truth. The truth is, he will come again. And he'll come as a thief in the night. He'll come so surprisingly. In fact, he will be surprised by it. According to his own words in Matthew 24, he said, I don't know the day that I come again. My Father only knows. Someday that Father will say, time has come. For some people, it'll be like here on earth. It'll be like the daytime and they're working in the field. And suddenly, he comes. Some people will be sleeping to bed, and they'll find themselves resting from the day's labor that they did. And they'll be asleep at night, and suddenly the sound wakes them up, and he will come. As a thief in the night, he will come. You know when the thief is fixing to come to your house? What do you do? Well, you set up a lock, you set up a time, you look at the porch, you go out there on the rock on the porch and wait for the shotgun. You just find yourself preparing for that one to come to steal from you. But we don't know when the thief is going to come. And so as a result, he's there. Just a few minutes and gone. And now the time has come. And he says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? I change that manner of persons to the word faithful. What kind of faithfulness should you maintain in life? Well, this is the idea of being faithful to the Lord in His right way. Now,